Good morning.
Good morning.
I kid you not, in the early service, we had this section, we had a big bunch of people, and we had Shauna. Raise your hand, Shauna. Shauna was over here. And so I had to preach like this. I was kind of leaning, the room was tilting. So I'm glad we got a little more balance this morning for our late service. Are you ready to worship? Welcome to our service this morning. I want to welcome our live stream audience as well. Glad that you are all with us. Let's pray. Father, still our hearts from the busyness of the day, the busyness of the week, all the details, the busyness of the season. Father, let it all be about you this morning. Send your Holy Spirit. Send your Holy Spirit. May you surprise us. Anoint this place. Anoint those who are in here and who worship this morning. May the name of Jesus be high and lifted up. We praise you in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Let's worship together.
With our second Advent reading.
While Mary and Joseph were in Bethlehem, the time for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in swaddling clothes and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the city of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace to men on earth for whom his favor rests." This morning, we light the second candle of Advent. This is the candle of peace. I think it deserves a drum roll. At the arrival of Jesus, the angels proclaim peace on earth. Let us, as a forgiven and redeemed people, rejoice in the peace that we have received in our own hearts through Jesus Christ.
Amen. I love this church. Let's stand and sing with the angels. All right, we got some clapping meters over there, so y'all clap along with them. Applause this morning. I'm going to invite you to be seated, and children, you are dismissed to your classrooms this morning.
Good morning. I love this church too, so much. I have some fun things to share with you this morning. The first thing is that we are having a Christmas party this evening at 5:30. The children have a program, and we would love for you to join us. And then we will go to the fellowship hall and have a meal together. You don't have to bring anything. It's all provided. We would just like to serve you a meal, and would love to have you join us in that. So that will be at 5:30 this evening. The next thing I get to share with you, most of you have heard me talk a couple of times about Operation Christmas Child shoeboxes, and so I just get to share this morning with you the harvest that we reaped during the collection season. First, I wanted to thank you for 566 shoeboxes that were packed at Wiley Methodist Church. They say that on average, a shoebox can reach up to 10 people with the gospel message of Jesus Christ because they take it home and they share it with their family and with their friends and other people in their community. So those 566 shoeboxes is gospel opportunities, or the chance that 5,660 people will hear that Jesus loves them through the shoeboxes you packed. So thank you for that effort. We also open our church up for that collection week to other people to bring boxes to our church, and then we take them to the central drop-off. And our church, during collection week, gathered 2,122 shoeboxes from just our little area right here. So that's another woohoo, it's great. And our total area, which includes Sweetwater, Hamlin, Brownwood, we collected 9,141 physical shoeboxes during collection week. So it has been an exciting season, and we don't even know what we collected online. So it's just been a really, really fun and exciting time. We have had 11 people from our church go and serve at the processing center now that the boxes have been collected, and that's the last point before the boxes are opened. They check them out and make sure that they're ready to go. So it's just been fun. They have processed almost 500,000 shoeboxes at the Dallas-Fort Worth Processing Center. So it's just been an incredible season. Praise the Lord. It's fun. Yeah, it's good. It's good. Good news. So that said, would you join me in prayer? Lord, thank you for your son, Jesus. Thank you that we have such a joyful message to share. Thank you for giving the opportunity to us to be a part of that, to sharing you with other people and sharing Jesus, and that he loves us and that he died for us. Lord, as we prepare our hearts this season for Christmas Day, I just ask that you would just prevent any roadblocks or distractions, that we would focus on you, focus on Jesus and the gift that he is, and just allow us to be the brightest light, that people would see us and just know that something's different in us this season. Why is Christmas different for that person, God, that they would just question what they see in us because it would be so beautiful to them. Lord, I know that during the holiday season, it can be a time of struggle for people as well. And so as we light this candle of peace, God, I pray that you would just truly fill us with your peace in our spirits. Your peace doesn't eliminate our struggles on this earth. It just allows us to have the peace to make it through those struggles. God, to know that you are with us, that you care for us, that you love us, and that you provide for our every need. Lord, in Scripture, it tells us that if we seek, we will be given. If we ask, we will be given. And that you are the giver of all good gifts. And so, God, when we seek you for peace, when we ask you to fill us with peace, we know that you will be true to your word, that you will give us the peace that we seek. So, Lord, I just ask that peace would fill each person in this place and each person that might be watching online. God, peace and love and joy and hope and all the things that this season brings. Lord, I pray for those who are ill, that you would just continue to bring healing. You know what's going on in every cell of each one of our bodies. So I pray for healing. I pray that you would make full recoveries happen quickly. Lord, we're just so blessed to have corporate fellowship where we can come together, where we can praise together and worship together and pray together. Lord, thank you for this time. Thank you for your word, and thank you for how it speaks to our hearts and into our lives. And I pray as Jeff brings the word this morning that you would speak through him, that you would give us a message and that we would be able to go forward and apply it to our lives and share it with others. Lord, I just thank you for this time. I thank you for this church. And I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And would you join me in the Lord's Prayer? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. As we go forward in worship, if you have a tithe or offering that you would like to give, we have offering plates up at the front. And there's also information on the screen about giving online. Thank you.
I can see what is raging at my feet. I can feel the breath of those surrounding me. I can hear the sound of nations rising up, that we will not be overtaken, we will not be overcome. I can walk down this dark and painful road. I can face every fear of the unknown. I can hear all God's children singing out, that we will not be overtaken. Maybe you were a kid and you rush down to the Christmas tree. We have a beautiful tree over here. And you see that package under the tree. It's beautifully wrapped. Nice red bow on the top. This morning, church, I want you to know the truth of the greatest Christmas gift of all time that you can open and access for yourself right now. And that's the Holy Spirit power, the resurrection life power that rose Jesus Christ from the grave. It's in your heart. It's in your heart through what Christ has done for us. You are a temple of the Holy Spirit. You are designed for the Holy Spirit of the living God to live inside of you. So this morning, know that the Holy Spirit of God is that greatest Christmas present that you will ever receive, that connects us to God. It overcomes your mistakes and your failures, all of them. Don't worry about them. Jesus
is stronger than that. Jesus is greater than that. And it overcomes death. We don't have to fear death because we will be with God forever.
That's right.
So the same power that rose Jesus Christ from the grave is in your heart. There's no greater present than that this morning, church. Let's sing and celebrate that Holy Spirit and that resurrection power.
Greater is He living in me. He's conquered our enemy. And no power of darkness, no weapon prevails. We stand here in victory. Oh, in victory. Same power that rose Jesus from the grave.
Well, good morning again. This Advent season, I'm ready for Jesus to come back, aren't you? But besides that, I'm ready for Billy and Carlene and Trevor and Linda to come back too. Yeah. Robert, I'm having to work for a living now. What's the deal? What's the deal about that? Well, glad that you are with us this morning. By the way, I love this church too. It's not about a building, it's you are the church. It's great to be a part of this fellowship. If you are our guest this morning, we are really glad that you're here. I hope you feel the love of God and the love of His people in this place. There's a card in the seat pocket in front of you, should be, that says guest. It has a blue stripe. Would love for you to fill that out. Certainly you don't have to do that, but I would love to meet you at the end of the service. I'll be out this end of the foyer and would love to meet you and get to know you, and you can bring that card with you. Before we start the sermon, I've got something I want to talk about. As I told the early service, just this word stirs something in us, and it should stir something in us. Sometimes it stirs different things in us. The word is abortion. What it should stir in us, in my opinion, it should stir a deep sadness, a righteous anger that's happening in our nation. And I want to say this up front here. This, contrary to what our culture is feeding us, this is not a political issue. It's not a political issue. It's not right or left or red or blue or Democrat or Republican. It's not. Life is God's business. I was thinking in the early service as we were worshiping, I was thinking that, now we're going to talk some about, in this Advent season, we're going to talk some about how God became flesh and Emmanuel, God with us, how Mary got the news that she was pregnant from the Holy Spirit. And I want you to think about, had our culture been existed then, Mary would have had a choice for the Savior of the world. Is this on? Anybody listening? Mary would have had a choice. I know Marv doesn't mind me sharing this. Marv, we've talked before. Marv has told many of you he was adopted. Some of you were adopted. Your mom had a choice. I don't know about anybody else. Marv, I'm glad your mom chose life. Because what we would have missed without a Marvin Gregory. So, now, there are pastors, and quite frankly, it saddens me. There's pastors that are afraid to speak to this because they're afraid. I think it's fear-based. I think they're afraid they may lose some people or people get upset with them or whatever. But I want to tell you, and I'm really not trying to be offensive here. I'm really not. But I'm just laying it out there. If this church loses members because I stand for life, so be it. I'm just saying. Because I do stand for life. And I also want to say this. If you or someone you know, if you've either had an abortion or you have convinced someone else to have an abortion, I tell people, that's why Jesus hung on a cross. Because we're knuckleheads. We mess up. We're sinners. But that doesn't mean that it's okay. You know, there's grace, but it doesn't mean it's okay. So, the reason I'm talking about that this morning, y'all, if you watch the news at all, you saw a couple of months ago or whenever it was, a few months ago, Lubbock became a sanctuary city, basically meaning that abortions could not be performed in Lubbock, Texas. And I'm not, this is not slamming their city council or our mayor or city council, but city councils are not going to vote for this. They're not going to vote for this ordinance because, I mean, it's, you know, lawsuits and all kinds of stuff that they're just not going to do it. What they did in Lubbock is they took it to the city council. And I forget how many they had. I think they had like 9 councilmen. It might have been a little bit more, but it was 0 votes to approve this ordinance. So they had to go through the ballot. They had to go through an election for the city, and they gathered up signatures, petitions that basically got it on the ballot, and it passed in Lubbock, Texas. And there has not been an abortion since that petition took effect. That ordinance took effect in Lubbock. Now, let me say this about that: if you look at Scripture, rain is always indicative of God's blessing or the lack thereof. And you just open your Bible and start reading it. Lubbock had been in a horrible drought, which we had been in a few years ago that through prayer broke that drought. Lubbock had been in a horrible drought. When this petition passed, this ordinance passed, the floodgates of heaven opened on Lubbock. A pastor friend of mine has a brother who's a farmer in Lubbock, and he said, "We're seeing cotton crops we've never seen before. They're harvesting cotton crops like crazy. Never seen cotton like this." And so, with that said, there is a movement which I'm, again, unapologetically, I am involved in with other pastors and other leaders in our city to get this on the ballot, actually to present it to our city council, which it won't go anywhere there, and it will. And that doesn't mean our city councilmen are not Christians or anything like that. It just means for various reasons they're not going to vote it in. It's got to go to you and I. We got to get it on the ballot in May, and the way to do that, we have to have 7,000 registered voters sign the petition that we wanted on the ballot. Again, not a political issue. Life is not a political issue. At the end of the service today, and it's going to be available to us for, we have to have 7,000 signatures in 60 days to get it presented to the city council in time. There will be, at each end of the foyer, there will be some people to help you if you want to be a part of that and sign that petition. It has to be done in a certain way, very meticulously. If you put anything wrong, they can kick out those signatures, so they will help you get it right. Billy Krim, if he's watching, Billy says when he talks about something that's hard teaching, you know what Billy does a lot of times? I've talked to him about this. He says this. Repeat after me. I love Jeff Hatcher. That's what Billy said, only he puts Billy Krim in there. And I tell Billy, you don't have to do that, brother. You're teaching the truth. I love you, and if we disagree on this issue, we just disagree, but I am passionately in favor of life. And I unapologetically in favor of life. So, with that said, turn with me to Matthew 3. Matthew 3. Beginning in verse 16. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was open, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting on him. A voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased." Chapter 4. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit. Did you know, by the way, did you see that where Jesus is empowered by the Holy Spirit, and then he goes to launch his ministry? Jesus led by the Spirit into the desert to be tempted by the devil. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to turn to bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. "If you are the Son of God," the devil said, "throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." Jesus answered, "It is also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test." Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. "All this I will give you," he said, "if you will bow down and worship me." Jesus said to him, "Away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." Then the devil left him, and angels came and attended him. Let's pray. Come, Holy Spirit, we need you. We need to hear from you. We ask you, Holy Spirit, to speak in power, to speak in authority, and transform our hearts. Make us more like you. In Jesus' name, amen. So I've played, many of you have seen this video. I've played it a couple of times in the past. It's a powerful video, and I wanted to play it again. It's Pastor E.V. Hill at a Promise Keepers event back in the 90s. We, and many of our men went to Promise Keepers here just a couple of months ago, 3 or 4 months ago. And we went in Dallas, and I've been to several Promise Keepers over the years. And you can see E.V. Hill, he is now with Jesus, but he needs to stoke up his passion a little bit. But other than that, he's a pretty fine speaker. So let's listen to Pastor Hill.
Jesus did not show the devil his glory because we don't have no glory. I go my vest right here. Nobody won't be blown away. Jesus did not say, devil be done, because I couldn't have said it. Jesus had to do something that everybody in here can do. And I'm fixing to give it to you right now because I want you to use it tonight. I want you to use it tomorrow. I want you to use it tomorrow night. I want you to use it for the rest of your life. Jesus said, devil, it is written. It is written. That's what he said. It's written. In other words, Jesus went to the book of Deuteronomy and came out with scripture. And every time the devil opened his mouth, Jesus threw scripture in his mouth. He came back at him again and he said, devil, it is written. Man shall not live by bread alone. It is written. Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. He hit him over and over and over with the scripture. And guess what happened? The devil ran. And guess what you can do beginning tonight? You don't have to take it. You don't have to take his mess. You don't have to take his stuff. Hit him. It is written. When the devil comes up and says, how do you know you've been saved? You are not saved. Yes, I am saved. Hit him. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Hit him, hit him, hit him. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Hit him. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Hit him. How are you going to make it? My God shall supply my every need. How are you going to go through? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. It's written. It's written. It's written. It's in the book. It's in the Bible. All you have to do is take out your Bible and say, where are you, devil? Come on, devil. Let's get it on. Let's get it on. Hit him. Hit him. Hit him. Let's get it on. He's defeated. Our Lord is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Hit that devil with the word. Hit him! Hit him! Hit him!
Hit him!
Pastor Hill just needed a little more enthusiasm, didn't he? You know, I've read some quotes from him after that Promise Keepers event, and he said that they had given him, allotted him like 20 minutes for his talk, and that was about 4.5 minutes there. And he's you can see there at the end, you know, he's got him so fired up, he's kind of like, yeah, okay, man, I'm good. So I'm waiting for one of those Sundays when I got y'all so fired up, I just walk off. Drop, oh, where I just drop the mic and, you know. So, 62 times you will find the phrase, it is written, in the New Testament. 17 times Jesus says that. It's almost, as I said last week, it's almost like God planned stuff. It's almost like he was intentional about sending Jesus. There are over 354 Old Testament prophecies about the Messiah, the Christ. I want to spend just a moment talking about the Christ, but let me go ahead and tell you the sermon series is the prophetic Jesus, the prophetic Jesus. Today, last week we talked about Jesus was the promised one, the Messiah. This week he is the holy and anointed one, the holy and anointed one. So that word Christ, Jesus Christ, that's not Jesus' last name. Did you know that? Did you know that's not Jesus' last name? It's a title. Jesus Christ, Jesus the Christ. Christ meaning Messiah, anointed one, holy one. Jesus of Nazareth, this man, this God-man, this God made flesh, Emmanuel, Jesus of Nazareth is the holy and anointed one. In Isaiah, again, pointing back, it is written, a shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse, and Jesse being through the lineage of Abraham and David and Jesse and all the way through to Christ. A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. From his roots, a branch will bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest upon him. And we saw in this passage we talked about today where Jesus was baptized. And it says, at that moment, heaven was open. The Spirit of God descended like a dove, lighting on him, and the voice from heaven said, this is my son whom I love, with him I am well pleased. So we're going to talk about many different people that professed and proclaimed that Jesus wasn't just a man, he wasn't just a prophet, he wasn't just a good old boy. Jesus was the Messiah. Jesus was the holy and anointed one. That makes a difference. Is this on? It makes a difference whether he was just a good guy, a prophet that had some cool teachings, or was he really God made flesh? It makes a difference. So let's talk about all the different people that professed and proclaimed Jesus as the Holy One. Jesus was proclaimed the Holy One of God by the angels. The angel said to Mary before Jesus was born, the angel said, the Holy Spirit to Mary, the Holy Spirit will come upon you and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One born to God will be called the Son of God. The angel, before Jesus was even born, the angel is proclaiming that this one that is now conceived in you, Mary, is the Holy One of God, the Son of God. And then after Jesus was born, the angel to the shepherds, today in the city of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. Christ, Messiah, Holy One, Anointed One. So the angels proclaimed it. Secondly, Jesus was proclaimed the Holy One of God by John the Baptist. How many of you watched the Chosen? Man, if you aren't watching Chosen, you need to get into that. Cheryl and I have really enjoyed watching The Chosen. But it's interesting because it's very scriptural, but it develops some personalities and some dialogue that's not in Scripture but implied in Scripture. And it's really neat, John the Baptist and Jesus, it's neat their relationship. But John the Baptist, and you can find this in John chapter 1, John confessed freely, I'm not the Christ. John had disciples, and they're following him, and all these people that he's baptizing are you the Christ? Are you the Christ? Are you the one to expect? I am not the Christ, he said. And then he quotes Scripture, Old Testament Scripture, words of Isaiah. I am the voice of one calling in the desert, make straight the way of the Lord. Then John gave this testimony. I saw the Spirit come down from heaven as a dove and remain on him. So we have it again. John's testifying. I have seen and I testify that this is the Son of God. God had told John the Baptist, if you look some of the scripture right around this, he had told John the Baptist, look, as you're baptizing, the one that I send the dove and the Holy Spirit in the form of a dove that he lights on, that's him. That's the Messiah. That's the anointed one. And then John's testifying, I saw it. I saw it happen. This is important, church, for us to know this and get this. Finally, number three, Jesus was proclaimed the Holy One of God by the apostles Andrew and Peter. Again, John the Baptist, he had his disciples that were following him. In verse 29, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, look, the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. So he's seen this anointing of Jesus, and now he's pointing him out to his disciples. He's like, see that guy right there? That's him. He's the Messiah. He's the Holy One. He's the anointed one. That him right there. And listen to this. And this, y'all hear me say this every Sunday. Go and tell someone. Listen, Andrew was one of his, who ends up being a disciple of Jesus. Andrew is one of John's disciples, and here's what Andrew did. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him. I can just picture Andrew and Simon. Andrew's like, man, we've been talking about this Messiah, been reading about this Messiah, we've been hearing he's coming. John says, that's him. I've met him. That's him. I'm running and telling my brother. So, not only was that the first thing Andrew did, it should be the first thing you and I do. Hello? When we encounter this Messiah, if he changes our life, the very first thing we do, especially the ones that you care about, is we should be sharing that. It should ooze out of us. The first thing he did was find Simon and tell him, we found the Messiah, that is the Christ, and he brought him to Jesus. So not only did he go and tell him about it, he goes, come with me, let's go find him. I want you to meet him too. Then Andrew introduces Peter to the Messiah. And then in Matthew 16, Simon Peter answered to Jesus. Jesus is gathering around his disciples and he's like, the crowds are saying all kinds of stuff about who I am and all that. Who do you say that I am? And Peter says, you're the Christ, the Messiah, the Holy One, the Anointed One, the Son of God. That's who you are. Peter proclaimed it. Andrew proclaimed it. And then Acts chapter 2, we know this as Pentecost, when Jesus has gone to the cross. He's been resurrected. He's taught for 40 days, and as in his resurrected form, he's ascended back to heaven, and he's told the disciples to wait, and the Holy Spirit would come, and that they would be his witnesses to the whole earth. And so the Holy Spirit comes, and Peter, it was kind of known as the first sermon of the church at Pentecost. Peter preaches the sermon explaining the gospel, and then he says, therefore, and you remember what therefore means, therefore let all Israel be assured of this, God has made this Jesus whom you crucified both Lord and Christ. Peter is proclaiming Jesus is Lord and Christ. He's the Holy One. He's the Anointed One. He's the Messiah. He's the Son of God. He's not just a good teacher. He's not just a good old boy. He's not just a prophet. He's God made flesh. Number four, Jesus was proclaimed the Holy One of God by Lazarus' sister Martha. I use this passage sometime at funerals because I think it gives us hope. But this is interesting. Before the fruit of Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead, Martha and Jesus are having this conversation. Jesus is on his way to raise Lazarus. He hasn't done it yet. And Jesus said to her this, She started out, she's like, if only you'd been here, my brother would be alive. And he said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies, and whoever lives and believes in me will never die. And then he asks her the question, do you believe this? Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who was to come into the world. Jesus had not raised her brother yet. She's speaking in faith, not because of what he'd done for her. She proclaimed him the Christ, the Holy and Anointed One. Fifth, Jesus was proclaimed the Holy One of God by the Apostle Paul. Acts chapter 17, as was his custom, Paul went to the synagogue, and on three Sabbath days, he reasoned with them from the Scriptures. So let me stop there a second. So if you're talking with someone that's still struggling with their faith, trying to figure everything out, notice this is important. Paul was not reasoning with them from his intellect. It wasn't like, hey, well, I think that this, and I believe this, and all. No, he reasoned with them from the Scriptures. Once again, it is written. He says, this Jesus I'm proclaiming to you is the Christ. He's the Holy and Anointed One. Acts 18, Paul devoted himself exclusively to preaching, testifying to the Jews that Jesus was the Christ. That, you know, sometimes we get, I think sometimes in the church we get sidetracked. We put the cart before the horse or whatever. Man, just tell somebody, if you think, I don't know how to talk to anybody about this, just tell them what Jesus has done for you. You don't have to be a theologian. You don't have to go to seminary. He was testifying to the Jews that Jesus was the Christ. And once again, in the same chapter, Acts 18, Paul vigorously refuted the Jews in public debate, proving from the Scriptures that Jesus was the Christ. Over and over and over again, that was the message of Paul. Jesus is the Christ. And here's the gospel. Here's what he's done for you. And then finally, Jesus was proclaimed the Holy One of God by Jesus himself. If you ever, and I forget the name of the book and the movie. What was, I forget. But there was a book that came out about 10 years ago that was, they were basically proclaiming that Jesus never proclaimed to be God. You ever heard that one? Jesus never said that. Has anybody else ever heard that? Jesus never claimed to be God in flesh. Well, I educated the early service, and they're enlightened now. This is a very theological word. Y'all might want to write this down. Bull. That's what that is. It's just a bunch of bull. Let's open the word. The Samaritan woman at the well. He's talking to her and having this dialogue with her, and the woman said, "I know that Messiah, called the Christ, is coming. When he comes, he will explain everything to us." And then Jesus declared, "That's me. The one talking to you right now. That's me. I'm the Messiah. I'm the Christ. I who speak to you am he," is what Jesus said. As Jesus is on trial in Mark, the high priest asked him, "Are you the Christ?" So very specific, very direct. I don't think that was an accident. "Are you the Christ, the Son of the Blessed One?" Jesus, a man of few words, said, "I am." Well, we think back to Moses. Moses said, "When I go, who do I tell them sending me?" And God said, "I am who I am. I am. Tell them I am sent you." "Are you the Christ, Jesus? Are you the Son of the Blessed One?" "I am. Yeah." And then, so that was to the high priest. Then to Pilate, also on trial. So Pilate asked Jesus, "Are you the King of the Jews?" Jesus said, "Yes, it is as you say." He turned it right back into Pilate's lap. It's like, "You say that I am? Yep, you're right. That's me." Church, it matters. Too many times in the church, it's good to have liturgies and teachings and we do this, don't do that, and say this and recite this, and those are all good things, and to walk in holiness and all that, but it all boils down to Jesus is the Christ. He came. He loves us. That's why he came. He saved us in a way that nobody else can. If I die for you, it doesn't do anybody any good. It needed to be the Christ. It needed to be God himself taking our place, taking our sin upon himself, and transferring his holiness to us. This exchange, that's the only way that we have life. I want to invite you, we're going to take Holy Communion now. If you did not get a communion cup as you came in this morning, if you'll raise your hand, we'll get those to you. Just if you'll keep your hands up until you get yours, and then you can lower it. I think, Brent, I think there's some over here. I think that side looks like it's pretty good. Anybody else? One there. Thank you. Some of the kids are making their way back in. If they want a communion cup and don't have one, raise your hand. We'll get those to you. Brent, don't go set those down yet. Anybody else over here needs one? Nobody over here. Okay. You know, this holy and anointed one that became flesh, as he that night, let me read this scripture to you. So I want you to just kind of put yourself in this scene. This is God sitting in the circle with these 12 disciples. He's washed their feet. He knows that one will betray him, one will deny knowing him, and the others will scatter and desert him. And yet, he took the meal. While they were eating, Jesus took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat, this is my body." And then he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will not drink from this fruit of the vine from now until the day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." And listen to this. I love this. When they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Did you know, I guess I'd miss that, that he serves them communion and they sing a hymn, they worship. And they go and pray, and we know what's getting ready to happen. So this is a precious meal. This is the provided, this meal is provided to us by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the Holy One, Messiah, the Christ. And what is required of us as we partake of this meal is not that we're really, really, really good, but understanding that He's really, really, really good. And that He loves us, and He has purchased our eternal life. So you do not have to be a member of our church to partake of this, but you do, unless you're a small child, you need to have professed Jesus as your Lord and Savior and repented of your sin. So if you if you just bow your head and make that personal confession before a holy God. Father, thank you for this meal, this cup, and this bread that cost you your life. Thank you that you did it for us. I pray a blessing and an anointing on this bread and on this cup and those that partake. In the name of Jesus, church, you are forgiven. Amen. So if you will open the bread first and partake of the bread. It's the body of Christ broken for you, and if you will turn over to the Jews, this is the blood of Christ shed for you. Thank you, Lord, for this meal, the preciousness of this meal. And as you asked us, we remember you as we partake. We remember the sacrifice, how you love us and how you died for us so that we might have life and have it more abundantly. In Jesus' name, amen. Invite the praise team to come up as we close. You will rise if you are able as we close. If you don't know this Jesus that I'm talking about, and I've known people that have gone to church 30, 40 years regularly and still didn't know Jesus. If that's you, if Jesus is stirring your heart, what a great day, what a great Sunday to say yes to Him. He has said yes to you as we close.
my song. Let the King of my heart be shadow where I hide. The ransom for my life, oh, is my song. You are good, you're good. Oh, you are good, you're good. Oh, let the King
that you can sign. They will help you do those correctly. I will also be out to greet our guests out at this end. Not only is God good, but Jesus is the holy and anointed one. He is the Christ. That's good news. Go and tell someone. We are dismissed. God bless you. Hi, this is Pastor Jeff Hatcher with Wiley Methodist Church in Abilene, Texas. I want to thank you for listening to this message from God's Word today. If you do not know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, He loves you and He wants to be your friend and your Savior. If that is you, I ask you to pray this prayer with me. Lord, I confess that I am a sinner. I ask you to forgive me of my sin. I ask you to come into my heart and be my Lord and my Savior and wash me as white as snow in Jesus' name. Amen. If you prayed that prayer today for the first time, I invite you to do four things. First of all, tell someone, share this decision with someone. We are better together than we are alone. And then also, I ask you to consider being baptized. Jesus Himself set the example for us by being baptized Himself, and He encourages us to do the same. And then I ask you to consider finding a Bible-believing and Bible-preaching church and plug in. Again, we are better together than alone. And then finally, I ask you to get into God's Word. It's not just because it is makes us a better person, but also because it is the living Word, and God speaks to us through His Word. The Gospel of John is a great place to begin. If I can help you be of any sort of assistance through this process, you can contact me at my email address, jhatcher@wileymethodist.org.
God bless you.